You and I back together again, wrapping up another busy week, Friday, January the 14th on Connecticut Today. A return visit from Connecticut State Police Union Head Andy Matthews on the current state of highway safety around Connecticut. And Andy says that could get even worse before it gets better. Police advocate and attorney Lance LaRusso with a return visit on the current wave of left-leaning district attorneys all across the country. We had this gentleman on a couple of weeks ago to talk about concerns that he had, that his union had, about public safety here in the state. And there was a meeting held yesterday to address this with himself, lawmakers, union officials, and folks concerned with public safety, particularly on the state's highways. Andy Matthews is with us. He's a retired state police trooper and currently heads the Connecticut State Police Union. Andy, it's Paul again. Welcome back. How are you?
How are you, sir?
I'm good, Andy. Well, how'd the meeting go yesterday? Give my listeners a clue as to what happened here and some of the concerns that were discussed by everyone.
Well, we wish we knew. The union leadership of the State Police Union was not invited to that meeting. That was just a meeting between members of the Public Safety Committee and the commissioner and colonel of the State Police.
So even though the commissioner and the colonel were there, you have no inkling as to what happened? Did anything trickle back to you, Andy? Were any of the union's concerns voiced in that? And as far as labor levels, staffing levels, levels of enforcement?
No, and that's been the problem since 2018 when House Bill 5223 was proposed, where they made a claim that pursuits in Connecticut put the public at risk. And Representative Verengia from West Hartford, along with Commissioner Ravella, started convened a working group to address, recommend policies. And what happened in the state police was in March of 2021, and this is one of the biggest problems we have right now. Well, our position is that the legislators can't have it both ways. When you create laws that restrict or handcuff law enforcement from actually protecting the public, you can't and reduce staffing levels. We're down 300 troopers since 2009. Our traffic services unit that primarily just does traffic services down from 62 to 11 troopers actively out in the field patrolling on the highways. Dedicated to just that task. That you can't have it both ways. You can't claim that we're not doing our job when we're down 300 troopers. And you've created, basically they've created statute, or not statute, there wasn't a state statute in the Public Act 2001 under police accountability, but our commissioner decided himself to create policy. We now have a policy under pursuit policy in our agency that prohibits pursuits unless the trooper he or she believes that the person operating the car or the occupants have committed, is attempting to commit, or will imminently commit a violent crime. And they suggest that an act of eluding alone by the violator does not constitute justification for a pursuit. So they've created policy that, and it's been advertised in the press, that the bad guys driving the cars unregistered, misuse, in possession of drugs or weapons, under the influence of alcohol, know that if they elude the police, they can avoid capture. And that's what the legislature and our commissioner have done. And that's the truth. From the field, from the troopers that do the job every day, the people that are getting stopped are the law-abiding citizens that actually pull over and obey the law.
Andy Matthews, retired state police trooper, now heads the state police troopers union. A lot of concerns from Andy and the unionized rank and file, particularly about staffing levels, safety on the state roads. You know, Andy, you were talking last segment about, you know, cars eluding and driving like crazy. Not enough of your fellow troopers, men and women out there to keep the roads safe for the rest of us. You know, Andy, I generally duck up I-91 north and south into and out of New Haven, living north as I do five or six times a week. And man, I got to tell you, Andy, the last 3 or 4 days I've been there, and I'm doing, you know, 70, 75. Okay, I admit it, Andy, I'm speeding. But I'm keeping, you know, I'm keeping, I'll give you my license and registration, don't worry. No, but I'm keeping pace with traffic, trying to be safe. And Andy, I keep getting cut off by cars doing easily, Andy, 85, 90, 95, maybe 100 miles an hour. And people call me on the show all the time, Andy, and say it's crazy on every road. The Parkway, Merritt, Wilbercross, 95, Route 8, Route 25. And they're all asking, where is the speed enforcement? What's your answer to that?
Well, that's a great question. And it is our primary objective to protect the public from reckless operators. That's what the state police does. And we take great pride in that. But the real problem comes from the legislature and our leadership. When you cut 300 troopers out of the budget and your traffic unit goes from 62 to 11 that are dedicated, and those 11 are in way stations now, the troopers at the troop level, the staffing levels are the same they were in the 1970s. And we're not just a highway patrol. We cover the towns that don't have police departments. So troopers aren't always dedicated on the highway. But when a trooper is on the highway, we try to stop that reckless operator, not somebody like yourself that may be exceeding the speed limit slightly, and we can use discretion and tell you to have a nice day and be on your way, and you learn from it. The people that we try to stop that are reckless now know, because our commissioner and the legislature have created a situation where they know, it's advertised in the press, that they don't have to stop. When we try to stop them, a trooper this morning in Troop H's area goes to make a motor vehicle stop on a vehicle matching the description of what you just described. Car pulls over, trooper gets out of the car, car takes off. Trooper tries to activate a motor vehicle stop again, car takes off at 120 miles, in excess of 120 miles an hour. Ugh. The trooper is required to not pursue the vehicle because of our department policy. If that trooper decides that it's a risk to the public, it doesn't matter per our policy, because that's what the legislature wants. And the Democrats won't admit that they created a situation that put the public more at risk. So now they want to claim that the increase in fatalities and the speeding motorists, reckless operators on the highway, are a result of COVID. That's not true. That's part of it. That's slightly part of it, because it is true that when we didn't know about the virus and how it was, you know, going to harm people, we did less proactive work and more reactive work. But I'll make one last point.
Sure.
State Representative Ronald Lamar from New Haven, who's the transportation chairman of the Transportation Committee, said in a recent Hartford Courant article, when we were addressing the fact that they passed, the governor's office pushed through in an implementer bill at 3 o'clock in the morning, speed cameras on the highways, Representative Lamar was quoted in the Hartford Courant saying, quote, "I've heard from some of my colleagues in the legislature that they don't actually want to see state police officers pulling over people over all the time," end of quote. So they have to make up their mind. You can't have it both ways. You either want the state police to do enforcement, or the legislature saying we don't want people stopped, because the truth is they created the situation. Now, in order to fix it, you have to actually talk to the men and women that actually wear the uniform, that lead the troopers out in the field, and get in a room. Don't ignore us. Don't ignore us because you don't like what we're saying, because we assign responsibility to you. Create a situation where you bring the commissioner, the colonel, and the union leadership in the room at the same time, the men and women that do the job. We have found that troopers, part of the police accountability, has also affected productivity. When people make false complaints against troopers and nobody does anything about it, it does affect the troopers in the field. Mm. They're less likely to want to be proactive, right? So when there was all the qualified immunity questions and troopers felt a lack of support from the legislature and our command staff, the union leadership, we made the decision to go out and purchase professional liability insurance for our troopers to encourage them to know no matter what happens, we have your back, and you can get back to doing the job to make sure the public's safe. Mm-hmm. The agency doesn't do that. The legislature doesn't do that. We're trying to find solutions. The legislature is not helping.
And Andy, do I read too that you're concerned that there could be even more trooper retirements here, which could put safety on the roads at an even higher problematic area? Talk about that.
Yes, sir. I was on the Public Safety Transition Committee with the governor Lamont's committee when he first got elected in 2019. And I said it then. We had 401 troopers that were eligible to retire before the state employee bargaining coalition pension and health care changes occurred this July 1st, effective July 1 of 2022. We now have just under 100 people that are left. 300 people have retired since January of 19. We have about 100 left. We have an academy class in that's about 63 right now. We anticipate that three quarters, maybe 70 to 75 of those troopers that are eligible to retire will leave. So again, they talk about how they have increased the numbers by 300, but they don't tell you that over the last 11 to 12 years since the Malloy administration, they've saved about $57 million in state government by defunding us 300 positions. We used to be 1,283 troopers. We're now at about 970. So they can't have it both ways. You can't say you're protecting the public when you don't provide the proper staffing. Do you know what those 300 troopers used to do? They used to stop reckless drivers on the highway.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Andy, it's tough, and we appreciate the time and never hesitate. The phone lines are open here whenever you want to drop in and let us know what you're up to. Andy Matthews, retired state police trooper, and he's the current union president. Andy, thank you. We appreciate it, my man. Thanks. We welcome back a gentleman who I've had on the show several times before. He's a former law enforcement officer. He's an attorney who represents law enforcement officers and the author of several books, including Blue News and When Cops Kill. He's the National Fraternal Order of Police Academy's Attorney of the Year. You may have seen or heard him on CNN, ABC, the Fox News Channel, and the BBC. Welcome back to Lance LaRusso here in Connecticut on WICC. Lance, Paul again, Happy New Year, sir. How are you?
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me. Doing well.
Well, thanks, Lance. We have these people, Lance. Larry Krasner in Philadelphia. Rachel Rollins in Massachusetts. Marilyn Mosby in Baltimore. Alvin Bragg now in New York. George Gascon in L.A. Chesa Boudin in San Francisco. These all, Lance, are people that I tell my listeners to pay attention to. Because no matter how good judges are, Lance, no matter how good police officers are, people who want to do their jobs well, you have a growing number here, Lance, of really left-leaning and well-funded DAs here who are, in the eyes of some people, Lance, including a lot of Democrats, doing harm to the American judicial system and criminal justice system. Talk about that.
You know, it's really interesting, and it's funny. People have asked me if the idea that we should not prosecute for crimes, or there's a whole class of crimes you're not going to prosecute, is a left or right political issue. It's not. It's a lack of lawlessness issue. It's a lack of personal responsibility issue. And the bottom line, when you take away personal responsibility from the equation, you basically make an unwinnable situation, not just for law enforcement, but for the public. So here's an example with Kim Potter. I just wrote an article with Dr. Bill Lewinsky about human error and what should have happened with Kim Potter. But the bottom line is, if Duante Wright did not resist the lawful efforts to arrest him, there would have been no force used at all. And we have DAs in Minnesota and others who are trying to remove the criminal responsibility for someone who resists arrest when the only lawful response for a person when they are told they're under arrest is to submit to the officer's authority.
You have a situation also here in a lot of these cities, Lance, including Philadelphia, for example, with Larry Krasner. It's getting so bad there that Michael Nutter, a former Democratic mayor of Philadelphia, not anywhere near a conservative person, a far-right politico. You've got the other DAs in New York City pointing fingers at Alvin Bragg already. The guy's been on the job like 5 minutes. The new mayor there, the new police chief, and they're all looking at this crop of prosecutors, Lance, saying, what are you doing? Don't we want the streets to be safer? I find that fascinating.
Well, it is fascinating, but it's, you know, it's part of this whole defund the police movement. It is the fastest conceived, implemented, and failed social policy in United States history. And the thought that law enforcement was to blame for the lawlessness we saw over the summer of 2020, and the fact that people burning buildings were justifiably doing so because they were angry, was nonsense. And what happened was some of these folks sprung back, they took it out on the police, they removed the police, and they ignored the fact, an absolute fact, that there is a segment, fortunately a very small segment of society, that will prey on people if they are given the chance. They will sell drugs to children. They will traffic girls in sex trafficking. They will beat up and steal the Social Security checks from senior citizens. And the only thing stopping them from doing that, especially in poor neighborhoods, is law enforcement.
Former law enforcement officer and current lawyer and author Lance LaRusso is on with us. And by the way, check out Lance's books at Lance LaRusso Books. Go to there. You can Google that. Lance, this must be when some of these DAs like Alvin Bragg and Marilyn Mosby and Kim Fox and Gascon and Krasner do what they do. I would imagine, Lance, it must be disheartening to law enforcement because law enforcement officers go out. They do their job. The legal system and the judges are ready. But if the proper charges or differing charges are not filed to get the best outcome, what's the answer? I don't know.
So I'll give you two examples of how it's disheartening for law enforcement. One people probably expect, the other one they don't. One is when you say that you are not going to prosecute people for assaulting law enforcement officers if that's the only charge they have. We saw that during some of the riots, and not protests, riots that took place. And we're seeing now prosecutors saying that they're not going to prosecute for assaults on law enforcement. That affects the officer. It affects the community. It affects the environment that they work in. It affects their families. And it affects where families are saying, why are you going to work every day and putting up with this? Here's the other side that people probably don't expect. When you have a DA that says, we're not going to prosecute shoplifting, or if a person walks in and points a gun at someone and steals their till as a small business owner, we're going to prosecute that as a petty theft and not an armed robbery. The law enforcement officers are the members of the community, just like these small business owners. It pains officers to see somebody who works every day that they see opening their shop at 5 in the morning and closing it at 8 o'clock at night. It pains them to not be able to live their life in peace without fear that a flash mob is going to come steal all the items from their stores.
Lance, that example you just gave, people should know, that has been proposed by Alvin Bragg now in Manhattan. That, correct me if I'm wrong, Lance, but I did read that if you walk in under his tutelage with a gun and the gun is pointed at someone, I guess he's saying that, well, if it doesn't go off and nobody's really hurt, then what's the big deal? Am I getting that right?
There are a couple of prosecutors who said that, and here's what, this is when I get back to the personal responsibility of the individuals, especially with use of force cases. When a person walks into a store with a gun, points it at the clerk and says, give me what you have or I will shoot you, that is a time, first of all, to trust them at their word, and number two, that person has crossed a line in society that is extremely difficult for someone to come back from.
Mm-hmm.
They have said, your life is not as important as my desire to have your stuff. And diminishing the social impact, diminishing the viciousness of those words and that act is a bad idea for everybody in society. It's not social engineering. It's abandoning your responsibility as a prosecutor to not vociferously argue against that and prosecute those people to the fullest extent of the law.
Is this, Lance LaRusso, final question here, correct me if you think I'm wrong, is this an inevitable result of connecting law enforcement, Lance, and the prosecution of criminals to whatever extent? to the political process? I mean, I've always said, thank God here in Connecticut, we screw up enough here in Connecticut, but we don't elect sheriffs, we don't elect prosecutors or DAs. They're nominated, then there's a legislative process here in Connecticut. So nobody votes. Politics does not seep into law enforcement. Is that becoming a bigger problem, Lance?
I think the bigger problem is the social engineering. So look at this issue of the armed robbery. This gets back to the gun being the problem. The gun's not the problem. It's the individual that picked it up and said, give me your items or I'm going to kill you. And we see this with gang members. We've seen this over the years with an attitude that the instrument is to blame. You could make firearms disappear with a magic wand tomorrow and gang members will still be violent and still be dangerous.
He's a former law enforcement officer, now turned famed attorney representing police. Check out his books, LanceLarussoBooks.com, online, LanceLarussoBooks.com. Lance, good to speak with you, and we'll chat down the road, my friend. Happy New Year. Be good, and we'll talk.
Thanks for having me.